Hello and welcome to Syngenta Growing Golf, the podcast about tomorrow's golf industry today. My name is Gary Firkins and I'm your host for this all-new golf business show. We're interested in your thoughts and feedback, so please do join the conversation at syngentagolf.com or via Twitter and LinkedIn. In this episode, I speak to Dave Sampson of European Golf Design, architect of the Marco Simone Golf Course in Rome that will host the 2023 Ryder Cup. Dave talks about what it was like to design the course, the importance of sustainability, and the essential role of course superintendent Lara Arias and her turf team. Dave also reveals the remarkable story of how he landed his dream job in golf after winning a magazine competition. Enjoy the show. Dave Sampson from European Golf Design. Welcome to Syngenta Growing Golf.
Thanks, Gary. Very nice to be here.
Dave, tell me about your earliest memories of golf. How did you get into golf?
So it was through my dad. I was 9 years old and my brother was seven. My dad played every sport under the sun, pretty similar to what I do now. But he, you know, cut down, you know, gave half the set to my brother, half the set to me. And, you know, from day one, I was pretty much hooked and I've been playing golf ever since.
So this was in what, in the back garden, back at home in South Africa?
Yeah, growing up in South Africa. So when we were nine, that was our first experience on a proper golf course. But, you know, if we weren't on the golf course, because obviously there was school sports and there just wasn't enough time in the day or in the week. You know, my brother and I would be hitting golf balls, those air balls around the garden in South Africa, you know, finding golf holes around swimming pools, you know, flower beds, putting pins in all interesting positions. So, yeah, I mean, from day one, really, really hooked.
So the imagination was already there. The idea that you could play different routes for golf, you could go over the side of the swimming pool or around the corner of the garden. The idea of shaping holes, the idea of kind of movement in golf was, and the imagination was there at an early age.
Well, it appears so. You know, we were just kids having fun, but yeah, we were always trying to find, you know, make things a little bit tougher. We were fortunate that, you know, the gardens in South Africa had a bit of space, so we were, you know, able to do that sort of stuff. But yeah, my brother and I would spend hours doing that. And if the sun went down, we'd be chipping in the lounge, driving our mother crazy.
And what about becoming a golf course architect? One, did you want to become? Was it an ambition from an early age? And two, how did you actually become a golf course architect? And I must admit to any listeners here that I may have a small cameo role in this, so I know part of this story. But Dave, what happened?
Well, so the first part was, you know, that was always the dream. You know, if I go back, I should have probably, you know, rather than studying building architecture, I should have done landscape architecture at university. But there's another story to that one. But, you know, the routine was through Golf World magazine and a competition which they ran back in 2001 or 2002. I was just finishing my building architecture thesis and my grandfather, who lived in Cardiff, Brazil, and so I caught a flight over. And my best friend at the time was living in the UK, and on my way back to South Africa, he gave me the magazine and said, "I know you're interested in this, give it a go." And at Heathrow Airport, I scribbled down six entries and, yeah, was the lucky winner, I suppose.
And so there's a little more to the story, isn't there? Because this was and my role in this was I was the journalist at Golf World, and we were running this competition with European Golf Design. And this was actually a competition to design a real hole on a golf course in Finland, in Helsinki, Linnagolf, which is a European tour destination. And we actually kind of reserved a space for this hole. So out 18 holes, but one hole was kind of missing off the plan. And that was what was printed in the magazine. And we asked people to actually design a hole in this kind of missing space. And we had an extraordinary number of entries from all over the world. And I think we were all taken aback just how many people were interested in this. But you actually sketched your entry at Heathrow Airport, you said.
Yeah, I've been told that I didn't win for my graphics, but I think my winning entry was the one that looked most like the actual design I wanted it to do. But yeah, I mean, very lucky. You know, and part of that prize was, joining yourself and the architect who was Tim Love at the time, who used to work for EGD, out in Finland. It was a great experience. My first experience of seeing, you know, a golf construction site. Yeah, it was a great couple of days.
And how did it feel that first time? And we were on that trip together, but how did it feel to see, you know, your design being translated into something on the ground?
Well, it was great. You can't really appreciate the scale of things until you're actually on the ground, especially with no experience. But, you know, it definitely relit that flame. And, once I'd won that competition, you know, I was always coming back over to the UK. It was, you know, as I say, relit the flame that, you know, building architecture was not where I wanted to go. Not what I wanted to do, and you know, golf was definitely the way forward for me.
And so you landed on your feet, because not only did you win the competition, but you were then offered a job by European Golf Design. So all your dreams came true in one go.
it wasn't that immediate, unfortunately. But one of the great things is when I came over to the UK, I did get to spend obviously quite a bit of time in the EGD offices, and. You know, they were really good at sort of giving me some exercises to do. And I'd keep going back every few months and they'd, you know, say what was good, what was bad. And it wasn't, you know, maybe 2 years later that, and it was actually straight after the, you know, the trip to Finland that I got a call from Jeremy asking me to come in for an interview. So, been good. And that was, you know, now 2004. Was when I got offered the job, so 18 years down the line.
And Jeremy being the managing director of European Golf Design. But I think we're going to come on and we're going to talk about Marco Simoni and the design of the Ryder Cup course for Rome. But let's just talk a little bit, if you will, just about some of those early learnings as a golf course architect, the different types of projects you were working on, perhaps what you learned, what was kind of surprising, what was interesting. Tell us about some of the projects you worked on and the type of courses that you were designing early on.
In 2003, I took a job at a building architecture firm. So I had CAD experience. So I was taken on mainly doing CAD, and that obviously you get to then see a multitude of projects from, you know, the other designers in the firm. And through that, and then getting the odd exercise to help with one of the other architects, was pretty much how I was, you know, learning on the job, really. And coupled with that, you're then going out on site visits with other architects, seeing what they're doing, and you pretty much, yeah, as I said, you know, you're learning about, you know, the industry. And it wasn't really until the back end of 2007 when I really got my first job, and it was Jeremy walked into Ross's office, and we were extremely busy at the time, and all the other architects were busy, and he was trying to get somebody to go on a flight. This was Thursday. He was trying to get other architects to go on a flight to Dubai on the Saturday night, and everybody was unable to make it. And I just went, well, I'm happy to go. And he went, really? And I was like, yeah, let me go. That then ended up being my first job, which was Royal Greens in just north of Jena.
And so what was that like? And you mentioned there one of your colleagues, Ross McMurray, who designed the Ryder Cup course at the Celtic Manor Resort. But what was it like getting that first job, getting on that plane, going and being faced with, you're flying solo for the first time, effectively, as a designer?
It was pretty daunting, but it was probably, it is still the only time I ever got to fly in first class. So it was, you know, a good experience from that point of view. But it was one of those Middle East projects where you just, you know, walked in into a meeting and there were 30 other people, you know, around a desk. And I was this 29-year-old walking in, and you know, a day later, I had to come up with a couple of layout options. So it was all go, a little daunting, but, you know, mean, Jeremy wouldn't have sent me there if he didn't feel I knew what I was doing.
And you mentioned there, you know, you're walking into a room full of people, and the whole process and the whole business behind developing a golf course is very interesting for anyone who's perhaps not been involved in that. You know, there's a lot of people involved and a lot of moving parts in a golf course development project.
Yeah, for sure. We just one little cog in the wheel. I mean, this was a massive master planning project, so you've got architects, landscape architects, master planners, you then got all those representatives from whichever company it may be. And you being, you know, tasked with, I mean, I remember the, you know, it was, we want four lakes and we want to make, you know, the frontage on the housing as long as possible. And those were the only two, you know, criteria that they gave me. And obviously they want a, you know, an 18-hole golf course, but you know, other than that, it was just, you know, there's the space and off you go. And I mean, obviously, you know, with a lot of projects in the Middle East, you dealt with pretty much a blank canvas and there's not much elevation change. So yeah, you can I wouldn't say do what you want, but I look back now on it was a good experience to be part of.
And tell me about some of the courses that you've designed before Marco Simone. So give us a flavour of two or three projects that you've been involved with in course designs that your name's against, as well as European Golf Design.
So obviously that first one was Royal Greens in Saudi Arabia. And then, that project stopped due to the recession in 2009. And I guess that, you know, we had mass graded up 16 golf holes on that one. And then the next project was PGA National Zavidovo out in Russia, which is pretty much where I learned a hell of a lot on that project, because it was the first one that I'd really gone from, you know, the beginning all the way to, you know, completion. We had a lot of good experience. I mean, because it was the recession, we were able to, you know, attract a couple of really high quality project managers and shapers, which, you know, it was really, really good for me personally and for the course and obviously the client. So I learned a lot on that one. And then, you know, a couple of the more familiar projects since then would be Evian, where we had to, you know, do a full renovation of that course ahead of the, you know, Evian changing to a major. So another one of the projects that I've been working on is Crans Saussure up in the Alps. It's such a great place to visit. I call it my happy place. We've been there since 2018. Each year, just doing, you know, a little bit on two, three holes at a time, just improving it. And we are, you know, all set to continue again next week. So it's another great place, and a, you know, great place, great client. One of the best.
Well, you do get the opportunities to go to some extraordinary places with some of these courses, and let's move on to Rome, because it isn't just the Ryder Cup. It is an extraordinary place in its own right. You know, Italy and Rome, the eternal city. So, tell me about designing the golf course for the 2023 Ryder Cup. I mean, wow, what a privilege to do that. But tell me about the process. Tell me about the brief. What are you looking at Marco Simone when you first took on the job?
Yeah, well, I mean, most definitely, you know, huge honor to be have been given the opportunity and the responsibility to design this golf course. You know, the first, you know, impressions of Marco Simone were there was a lot of elevation change. You've got over 50 meters from the bottom to the top, where we've got the 12th tee now. So that presented a lot of potential and a lot of opportunities. And when you're briefed with designing a Ryder Cup course, you're not just trying to find, you know, an 18-hole golf course or the best 18 holes on that land. You're trying to also find, you know, the best 18 golf holes for the spectators and for hospitality. So you know, it's been a really good collaborative process with Ryder Cup Europe and the Federation, and obviously the golf club, you know, trying to trying to get the best out of that site. I mean, as you say, Rome's going to be a fantastic city to host the Ryder Cup, and I think for the spectators, it's going to be amazing, being based there. But part of our job is making sure that they're going to have another great experience when they get to the golf course. So we're not just thinking about we're not just thinking about the 18 holes. We're also thinking about how you're going to design from bus drop off, which is just outside the site, what that experience is going to be. Going through we have a parks plan designing and laying out the helping lay out the space for the village. How the spectator then moves through the village, past the practice areas, and what that experience is like all the way up to the first tee. So it's on a totally different scale to anything else that we normally do. But it's been exhilarating and fascinating and all those good things. With without doubt, there's been the odd challenge along the way as well.
So you've got all that infrastructure to deal with, all the kind of the TV spectators, hospitality, as you say. But what about the golf course itself?
Well, I mean, as I say, the first thing you're struck by is the amount of elevation change. And I looking back on, I was really happy with the way that the course played, in a tournament setting. We had some really interesting conditions weather-wise. The wind was in a totally different direction to what it had played the year before and in the warm-up rounds. I love the fact that the course played in a totally different way. It presented a whole different challenge to the professional golfer. I think you look at the finish that it had. The players at the top of the leaderboard, I think it stood up remarkably well, as intended. And the course, we are, the site, as I've mentioned, had a lot of elevation change, but there were a lot of key areas on that site that present a lot of fantastic views, not only over the surrounding landscapes, but also long distance views over Rome. And St. Peter's is, stands out on that horizon line. And, in laying out the golf course, we consciously try to factor in, these key vantage points, to add to the drama. And these come on the back nine, where you've got, big risk reward holes. There's a stretch 11 through 12 where, players could go, in effect, eagle, birdie, which, is, from our point of view, we feel is great for, Ryder Cup golf and match play golf. And then, the back nine's got another drivable par four on 16, followed by, a tough three on 17. And I think the, the back nine especially is just going to be, it's just laced with risk reward holes and, drama and everything that, Ryder Cup course we feel should be.
Now, of course, we're talking about the design, but there's a whole unseen world of work that goes on to maintain and present the course so beautifully for a tournament and looking forward to the Ryder Cup as well. Tell us a little bit about that and the teamwork. The superintendent, Marco Simoni, Lara Arias, and she was previously at Le Golf National. Big job for her and her team as well, facing up to a Ryder Cup, and she's obviously got experience of that. But tell us a little bit about the work that goes on and also the dynamic and the relationship between the course designer and the superintendent and the turf team.
In terms of the relationship with Lara, we've had a great relationship. I love her passion. She's very, very driven, very focused young lady. And, her with her fiancé, Alejandro Reyes, who was head superintendent at the Golf National, make a fantastic team. And, ever since they came on the job, the job has been much easier. And, the results were there for everyone to see.
And it really is a big job, though, isn't it? you know, kind of maintaining the course to produce those world-class standards, which we both expect to see on television, but we, you know, we expect underfoot, and certainly the players expect underfoot. It's a big job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big job, big responsibility. But yeah, they've got a good team. They've got a good team there. And, you know, we as designers are left in their hands. You know, we put our trust in them just like the club has put their trust in them, and no doubt the course is going to go from strength to strength. You know, in terms of, you know, that relationship that we have with her and Alejandro, you know, their attention to detail is great. They've got, there's no issue if we come there and we want to, you know, maybe suggest a little tweak here or there. You know, they know what the end goal is. The end goal is to make that course as good as it can possibly be, so that, you know, every one of us looks good in the end.
Now, I wonder, this summer that's just passed, 2022, Italy, and like a lot of Europe, we suffered extreme heat. There was drought. In other places, there were floods. But climate, it really came into focus this summer, and especially for golf. We saw environmentalists or environmental extremists, perhaps, you know, threatening golf courses or posing a risk to golf courses in France. They were putting concrete in the golf holes, protesting about the use of water. So we, as an industry, we are somewhat challenged. And I wonder what provision was made at Marco Simone in terms of addressing both climate change but sustainability in a wider form.
Yeah, so a couple of the decisions that we made right from the beginning was, you know, we've got a state-of-the-art irrigation system. You know, we've got over 2,000 infinity sprinklers on the golf course. We've got the Lynx Dakota system. You know, that's giving, you know, Lara and her team, you know, that control that you need, so that you're not just putting water everywhere. You've actually got, you know, getting water to the places that really, really need it. I think it'd be fair to say, you know, there's a slight water issue at Marcus May through the height of the summer. You know, we had to make the decision because we are doing the spectator village and the practice range. That was the work that we did now. But we've had to hold off on you know, seeding those areas to make sure that the golf course was still in great shape for this year's Italian Open. Another decision that, you know, we made, that the previous golf course had cool season grasses wall to wall. You know, we've gone, you know, we were always going to go either Bermuda or Paspalum in terms of the fairways and the tees. And having going Paspalum, you know, not only would there have been a reduction if we went Bermuda, but going Paspalum has meant an additional 30% reduction in terms of the, you know, the irrigation demands for that grass. So, you know, right from the beginning, you know, we are consciously thinking about, you know, designing efficiently so that, you know, the golf course can be maintained as efficiently as possible.
And how important do you think that will be going forward in general, the way golf responds, the way it makes courses more resilient to climate change, but also sustainability more generally?
Yeah, I mean, we all have to play our part in this one. You know, we've got a potential project in Spain now. We are really looking at, you know, retaining as many natural areas as possible, and thereby, you know, reducing the irrigation demands. We know on this particular project we have, you know, we know how much water we can have, and we have to stick to that. So we, you know, we all have to play our part, and we have to design accordingly, and we, you know, we have to, yeah, do what we can.
Tell me a little bit more about sustainability at Marco Simone.
Well, from day one, you know, when we started doing the design, you know, we're not looking to, you know, we're trying to, as I said, design efficiently. We're trying to get a routing layer where we don't have to move thousands and thousands of cube of material. You know, you then throw in the drainage. We're looking to, you know, retain as much of the water that goes down into the water systems. We've got, you know, many more water features that, you know, create ecosystems throughout the site. You know, we've also been using recycled products, most notably on some of the lake edges. And then obviously, as mentioned, the, you know, trying having the state of the art irrigation system, you know, is really helping. So, you know, we as mentioned, we're trying to, you know, design as efficiently as possible, so that Laura and her team, you know, can maintain as efficiently.
Thinking about sustainability, for many people, perhaps outside the golf industry, looking at, say, golf in the Middle East and the continuing development of golf in the Middle East, is it a fair question to ask, can golf be sustainable in those environments? And indeed, you know, from a course design and construction perspective and maintenance perspective, what can you do to make golf as sustainable as possible?
Well, I have a project in Abu Dhabi. It's an island job. And, you know, it's we've brought in GEO right from the beginning. You know, they have, I mean, there are things that we as designers, you know, I think about subconsciously. But having them on board and then just, you know, them looking over every decision that you've made in terms of design is a really great help. And they're making some really good decisions on grass varieties, you know, where are the soils coming from? And this project in particular, rather than, you know, with it being an island, rather than importing sands from far afield, you know, we're exploring along with the agronomist the opportunity of using the materials that they have on site, you know, which be a huge benefit. You know, then they're looking at, you know, the landscaping, the maintenance. You know, we have a maintenance facility with solar panels on the roof. You know, working with Troon on the fleet of machinery and GEO suggestions, you know, everything is now, you know, going towards electric. You know, where the compost bins, what about the wood chipping, where are all these going, you know, and how can we reuse everything, and especially being an island, you know, making yourself self-sufficient on, you know, in that region, you know, is important. And they, you know, having them on board right from the beginning is, you know, is extremely beneficial, you know, from us from a design point of view, but also from the client side as well.
I'd like just to talk for a moment about designing courses for people, for customers, for a more diverse audience, to attract more people into golf and perhaps give more variety to existing customers. We're very used to the 18-hole course, but what about other formats of golf? What more can design do to help broaden the diversity of the customer base in golf?
Well, at Marcus & Rowley, we know that it's going to host a Ryder Cup match, and that we've got 7,300 yard back tees. But what we have done is we've got, you know, five sets of tees, and we've, you know, the most forward ones are, you know, 5,000 yards. So, you know, we're trying to cater for as many abilities as possible. You know, in terms of the routing of golf courses, and I think we can do a lot more there. And on a lot of our jobs, or the jobs that I've worked on, you know, you're trying to, you know, create little loops within, you know, whether it's a returning nine, you can maybe have three holes, six holes, you know. And I think what golf clubs need to be a little bit more, you know, think a little bit further out of the box and offer a little bit more, you know, opportunity for people just to go out there and play a three-hole loop or a six-hole loop or whatever. And I think, you know, design and management, you know, can be improved on that front. You know, you then look at Marcus & Rowley, that used to be a 27-hole facility and is still a 27-hole facility. I mean, obviously, there's only 18 holes in play now. They had a short executive course. We've had to, you know, reshape that for the Spectator Village and the new practice range. But the plans are that we will go back to that executive course. And that brings in a whole different market, you know, where the juniors and, you know, maybe and people who haven't played the game before can come. And I think, you know, clubs need to, you know, create that atmosphere where, you know, we're not, you know, break down that cultural barrier that it's just a game for men. We need to get the, you know, the family and the wives and the mothers, there, because they in the end are the ones that, if they've had a good experience, they will bring more people to the game. And we, you know, we need to do all we can to try and do that.
And it's not like different formats of golf are a new idea. I think of places like Glen Eagles, you know, with its just wonderful short course at, right out in front of the hotel. But there are also some really fabulous and fun short courses now being developed as almost kind of perhaps at private clubs as after golf entertainment for groups that are coming there or for members, but equally separate, you know, venues that are almost golf entertainment venues in their own right. So they might be a driving range, they might be a kind of entertainment range, but they might have short courses attached and even putting courses as well. And I wonder, you know, how important that is, you think, perhaps for the future of golf, and how interesting it is for you to get involved in designing venues that have diverse amenities like that.
Yeah, most definitely. I think, you know, I can give an example. We live in the Woking area here, and there's a public place, a public golf facility 10 minutes away that, you know, it caters for, you know, the putting, the putt-putt course. It's got the, fantastic driving range with all the TrackMan, and you can have your own games on that. Invariably you have to wait 30 minutes to actually get a spot on there. But it's got an 18-hole par 3 course, it's got an executive course, and then it's got a main 18-hole course. And that place is a money machine. And there are people, you know, it's rammed all days of the week. And I really believe that's the way to, you know, golf's got to go. We are trying, you know, if a project comes along and we can, you know, get involved with, you know, providing these products and these designs for clients, then for sure. I mean, and going back to, you know, a project I mentioned earlier, you know, it's, you know, slightly different, but, we're in an area where they've got golf courses which are all very samey. You know, we're trying to throw in concept a different, you know, model, a different product at that project. And I think, you know, with, you know, diversity, we've got to try and throw different products and different models at the community, because, you know, that's the way we're going to grow the game.
Final word, Dave, on the experience of designing Marco's the new course at Marco Simone, and, you know, what is it going to be like, do you think, when the players come along teared up for the Ryder Cup? You'll be there. I wonder what you think the experience will be like.
I think I'll have a few sleepless nights, but I think it's gonna be great. I think I think everybody who's been there, they've had a few Italian Opens now. I think everybody can see the potential especially from a spectator point of view. I think it's going to really deliver on that front. And I think, you know, the golf holes themselves are going to, you know, deliver great match play and a lot of drama. Somebody asked me how will I, you know, what is success? How do I gauge success on this project? And I actually quite struggled to answer that. But I think if a Europe win would probably, you know, gauge a successful venue.
Dave Sampson from European Golf Design and the designer of the 2023 Ryder Cup course at Marco Simone. Thank you very much for speaking to Syngenta Growing Golf.
Thanks, Gary. Been a pleasure.
Thank you to Dave Sampson of European Golf Design for his insights into golf course design and the development of the Marco Simone course in Rome. I thought it was really interesting to learn what a huge job it is to create a venue for the Ryder Cup. It was also fascinating to learn how sustainability is central to new course design. As I mentioned earlier, we're really interested in your thoughts on these topics and more, so please do send us your comments. You'll find more golf industry insights, interviews, and business success stories at syngentagolf.com. And don't forget to like and follow Syngenta Growing Golf. Until next time, goodbye.